Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
1 Thessalonians and chapter 4 and verse 3. He says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. Well, that word sanctified means set apart, right? So you can say it's God's will that you not be like everybody else, that you not just follow the pattern that everybody else does. It is his desire for you to be set apart for him. And directly connects that to that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable and not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. You know, people who don't have God, they just follow their natural instincts. It's the course of the world. But God has something more for us than that, and he wants to be able to help us with that. He says, do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. So, you know, when God tells us these things, and we've all been guilty at one time or another with things in God's word where he confronts us and we find a way to set it aside, skirt around it. I want what I want and I'm going to pursue it, maybe not openly, but I'll sort of somehow try to slide around it. Well, this is God's instruction for his people. And I don't care what the world tells you or friends. I don't care what another church goer says. If you have a boyfriend or girlfriend from it, it goes to church. Well, if they don't have this conviction, then they're compromised too, and they need the same grace of God to help them in this area that every one of us needs. This is not, you know, there are issues in the Word that, you know, we have different convictions on, right? There are things where everybody here doesn't think exactly the same about everything. There's all kind of instruction in the Word about us getting along with each other despite the fact that we're not going to see everything exactly the same. There are some conviction issues we just have to pray and ask God and leave in his hands. But I believe we can say on the authority of the Word of God, this is not one of those issues. This is not one of those issues that's, oh, it's like, oh, I just see it different. I have a different view. Well, I'm sorry that on the authority of the Word, your view is incorrect, and it's not my view. If you're rejecting this, you're not rejecting my philosophy for how to have a better life. You don't need my philosophy for how to have a better life, but you need the Word of God. And if this isn't important, if you find, maybe somebody finds that in their heart, as you know, somebody could hear this and say, well, you know, that's kind of how I feel. I don't really care. I'm just going to do what I want. I want what I want. Well, maybe ask why that is. You know, if you feel that, if that's what rises up, be honest enough with yourself to admit it. And then say, why do I feel that way? And maybe there's a place to be just a little bit scared for why we don't have any respect for the Word of God, why there's no fear and I can do this and there's no consequence. Because I tell you what, that can be a starting point. God doesn't rule through fear. He's not going to just crush us and say, I'm going to get you if you don't do what I say. That's not how he draws us to himself. He draws us with love. It is the goodness of God that leads to repentance, not his anger. It's not the looming threat of judgment that leads us to repentance. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. But sometimes in that natural man, it takes something to get his attention. And sometimes that can be that fear, a conviction of why doesn't this matter more to me? Why is this something I can do and be okay with? Just ask that question between you and God. He will meet you. If you want to reach out to him, he will reach back to you. I promise you that. But I was just thinking about, you know, the fact I said earlier, this is nothing new. This is something God's people go through in every generation, right, as we become adults. Well, I was thinking about the Corinthian church. You know, there was plenty of examples of stuff that Paul had to deal with there with them. And I don't know how many of you have known this or have ever studied it, but in Corinth, one of the things it was well known for is it had a temple to Aphrodite, the goddess of love, the Roman goddess of love. It was one of the, I guess, archaeological things it was known for. And part of their worship involved temple prostitution. In other words, they had, I read in one place, I don't know how accurate it is, they said at one time at its peak, they had over 1,000 prostitutes that served at that temple. And it was part of their worship system to worship the goddess of love. Well, you can imagine God going into a pagan culture like that, calling out certain people that grew up in that, and all of a sudden the difference, And Paul's having to deal with that. People who have been used to this and they don't even see anything wrong with it. They don't even see what it's a big deal for. And he's trying to help them and understand that God has a different plan. He has a different purpose. So in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 6, he's quoting them as though you're saying this, but then he's giving them the truth. So he says, well, you're saying I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. Well, I have the right to do anything. And Paul says, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but the Lord, and the Lord for the body. What they're saying is some of the people are trying to equate this to eating food and saying, well, you teach that, you know, meat that's sacrificed to idols, it doesn't really matter one way or another because I'm not engaging in it with my spirit. It's just a physical thing I'm eating. So isn't it the same way with sex? Isn't this the same thing? It's just something I'm doing with my body. It's not my spirit. Isn't there a division there? And Paul said, no, it is not the same thing. Eating food is not like having sex. However much this culture wants to trivialize the idea to where it's no big deal, it's not the same. It's something different God made for a different purpose and a different expression. And he's saying right here that that's not the same thing. The body was not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. Yeah, that's the word of God. That's his word to help us. Just go down a little bit into chapter 7. There's a few things that he talks about there that I just want to take a quick look at. Because, I mean, yeah, like I said, I don't think this needs to be belabored because this is a pretty consistent principle through his word. But there's a couple more thoughts I do want to get to, and then, you know, hopefully the Lord will share with others. Because we need him. We need his spirit. Exactly what was said this morning. We need this to be him because information alone is not going to help anybody. We need his spirit to convict and to build this truth into our hearts. So in 1 Corinthians 7, starting up at the first verse, he says, now for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. He's talking about this issue. And part of this in this chapter, Paul's laying out the case for, you know, if you're not married, you're freer to serve the Lord. But obviously God makes provision for that because not everybody is called to that and can handle that calling. I'd say probably more can't than can. But that's what he's talking about here. But Paul says this in verse 2, but since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife and each woman with her own husband. So that is, you know, that's what God prepared. That's what. So you see his contrast. He said, okay, so there's a need, there's a desire. You know, the mere fact that we feel attracted to someone, sexually attracted to someone, that in itself is not a sin because that's a normal part of our nature. But what he's saying here is, if that's the case, then the answer is marriage. You see how this is an either or? What about Hebrews where he says, I think it's Hebrews 4, where he says marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. The marriage bed is pure, not corrupt, but that's because it's the marriage bed. The only reason it's pure is because we've honored the institution of marriage. And you see how there's never a middle ground. There's either we're dealing with this issue and God's helping us deal with it, or we get married. There's no middle ground where we play with it and we sort of stay in between and have a foot in each camp. That's not God's answer. That's what Paul's saying here. Well, in fact, go down to verse 8 here where he says, to the unmarried and the widows, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. Again, he's promoting that idea about freedom to serve Christ. But he says this, but if they cannot control themselves, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. You see the contrast? Burn with passion, that's one side. The other side is get married. And God sanctifies that. There's no middle ground. There's no middle position. You know, if you are in a relationship with someone and you find that, you know, it's a natural thing. As you get close to somebody and get to know them and you begin to share intimately and communicate, you know, and you get to know them personally in a way that you don't know other people, a deeper way, it's very natural that you want to take that to the next level. And the next level, the natural outflow of that is that there's a physical expression of it. If you get to that point in a relationship and you feel like, look, we can't keep our hands off each other, well, okay, then you need to get married. That's God's answer. It's not, he's made provision, but that's his provision. And if you say then, well, wait a minute, now we're not ready to get married, this, that, and the other. If you're not ready for marriage, you're not ready for a sexual relationship. That's his provision. In fact, he's going to say that, now let's go down to, I think it's in 20... He says, Yeah, so about virgins or the unmarried, I have no, you know, command from the Lord, as in a, you know, thus saith the Lord word for word, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think it's good for a man to remain as he is. Are you pledged to a woman? Do not seek to be released. Are you free from commitment? Do not look for a wife. But here's the verse. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. So just in case you think that, I get married and that solves all the problems, right? No. You see why? In fact, I'll tell you this. Your married life is the physical side of your relationship. It's important. It's not unimportant by any means. It's important, but it's only one percentage, a relatively small percentage of your life together. There's a whole lot of life that has nothing to do with that, that you need the Lord for. And in regards to that scripture, you know, oh, it's better to marry than to burn. Well, we should just get married. Well, maybe if God has you both prepared, because I'll tell you this, it may be better to marry than to burn. It's better to burn than to marry the wrong person. It's better to deal with that and have to lean on God's grace and learn how to harness his grace to deal with that than it is to get in a relationship he didn't ordain at a time he didn't prepare, because you are setting yourself up for what he's talking about here, many kinds of trouble. And in ideal circumstances, you'll have trouble because there's trouble in the world. And then once you are one unit, you're going to face that trouble together. What affects one will affect the other. There's going to be things. However, that's still God's provision. And so it's what he's saying here. It's not a sin to get to a point in a relationship where you feel sexually attracted to your partner. That's normal. That's part of what draws people together and produces families. God's not against that. But when it gets to that point, that's God's answer, marriage. And if that's not there, you're not ready for that, you're not able to do that, then you're not ready for the other either. You don't need to try to have a foot in both camps. I want to have it both ways. I want all the privileges of marriage, but none of the responsibilities. Well, that's how people are. We want that about a lot of things. It's not how life works. We don't get the privileges without the responsibilities and the commitments there. So, you know, I guess what I want to say is this. How do you deal with this? If you're in a relationship then and you're not ready for marriage, then what do you do to deal with this? Well, just at a purely practical level, here's the number one simplest thing that will keep the vast majority of trouble off of you in this area. Don't be alone together. That solves 95% of your problem right there if you are not off alone together. But when you are and you have time you don't have to account for, that's when problems happen, because human nature is ever present. You know, there's a covering and a protection when you can be together with others. Be at your boyfriend or girlfriend's house with their parents. Be with friends. Be with church functions. Be with things where you can be together in an environment where there's covering, there's safety, and there's protection. Because you get off alone where you have time you don't have to account for, this is the inevitable, well, I won't say inevitable result, but it's a likely result. You know, it's an awfully likely result. Because the other thing that helps, another thing that helps with this, is be with someone who has the same conviction that you do. You know, my wife and I had this conviction when we were dating. But first of all, you've got your own nature and your own body that is working against you in this area, number one, especially when you're younger and your hormones are at some of their peak levels. You got your body working against you. You got the devil working against you that wants to flood your mind with these thoughts, things from the culture. If on top of that, those, you've got your other person, your partner, working against you too, boy, it is hard to stand. I won't say it's impossible, because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But it's hard to stand if the other person is working on you too. And even when you both have the same conviction, you're going to find it difficult. You know, you'll find it difficult to honor the Lord. There will be, no matter how much you try to stay around other people.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, May God richly bless you until our next broadcast.